And coming up, we're going to have an interview from Larry Stone, who's an outdoor writer, retired now, from the Des Moines Register. Many years he penned and kept us informed of outdoor activities going on around the state. And I first learned of this man's quest to link Iowans to the outdoors. In 1993, Larry had planned to canoe the whole length of the Des Moines River and had different segments, and I was asked to come along and help interpret the river otter inclusion that had occurred right at the confluence of the Boone Forks on the Boone River, upstream from Lehigh, Iowa. So I met Larry there at Lehigh, and we started paddling south. And it was a delightful opportunity, but it wasn't in 1993 because of the floods. He had postponed it until 1994. So we learned the length of the Des Moines River together, and that was quite an opportunity to learn a lot more about Larry Stone, and our friendship has only grown in the last 30 years. So let's hear from Larry Stone. So this morning on Local Talk, Larry Stone from Elkhater, Iowa. And some of our listeners may recall seeing Larry Stone's name in the Des Moines Register on the Outdoor Life page. Hello, Larry Stone.
I'm here, Pat. Yeah, I really appreciate the chance to visit this morning.
Well, this is Earth Day. And I know you have a long-standing tradition with environmental writing. How would you describe to our listener Larry Stone's life up to this moment?
Oh, my. Since I'm 70-plus years old, there's a lot to say there. But I grew up on a farm in down around Indianola, southern Iowa, and had my fingers in the dirt and the mud, as with my earliest memories, and loved the land and the farm. But I wanted to share that somehow with others, and the short version is I eventually got into a biology degree at Coe College and then a conservation journalism master's degree at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Was that in the late 60s?
I graduated from Coe in 68, then I was at Michigan then in 1969 and 70. So, yeah. And some of your listeners may recall that was kind of a active time with protests and activism of several sorts around the country, Vietnam War protests, civil rights protests, and that sort of social movement. And a young man named Dennis Hayes decided that with the Vietnam War actions that were taking place, that there needed to be a similar teach-in, he called it, about the environment. And so the idea for Earth Day was spawned, and the first one was going to be in 1970.
It was. I recall in that era, there was a lot happening. There was a TV commercial with a Native American with a tear in his eye as someone threw a bag of trash at his feet, kind of iconic memory of that era. And also the Cuyahoga River caught on fire. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah, I do.
So, is there other action or other occurrences that precipitated your need to get activated and speak out for the environment?
Well, as I said, it was I'd had my biology degree at Coe in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I had thought about getting into the field of wildlife management, and then somehow, I'd seen some TV programs and done some reading of people talking about and explaining some of these, wildlife issues. Some of the National Geographic TV specials probably had to do with it. But I thought, maybe I could have a bigger impact if I were trying to communicate issues to people as opposed to just strictly doing research or management. So that I drifted over into the communications field and ended up at the University of Michigan because they had a program there where you could combine your master's degree with journalism for half of it, and then the other half was a field of your choice, and in my case it was natural resources and conservation.
Do you recall your first articles that you wrote?
I did a number of papers for journalism classes at the University of Michigan about the effort at that time to ban DDT because of its problems, environmental problems, specifically damage to raptors and bird life from thinning of eggshells caused by DDT. The Alaska pipeline was being heavily debated at that time, whether or how to build the Alaska pipeline. I wrote about that. There were several dramatic oil spills from offshore oil drilling.
Oh, yeah, off the California coast.
Yeah. So, there was a huge jet airport being planned near the Everglades in Florida. I wrote about that. And, oh, those are sort of the research papers I did for journalism at the University of Michigan.
At the first Earth Day, that you were you assisting coordinating with that, or did you invite speakers? And who presented at that first Earth Day in Michigan?
Well, there were several, and you say the first, and we brag a little bit. Ours was the first, because Earth Day supposedly was going to be on April 22nd. As it turned out, that was during our spring break, so we had to move our Earth Day activities to the week prior to that. So we were the first one, even though there were hundreds or thousands of them around the country, we thought we were the first. And it was kind of a who's who of speakers at that time. We had David Brower, who was with the Sierra Club and then eventually formed another organization that still goes on today.
Oh, sure.
Friends of the Earth. We had Ralph Nader. Oh, he had gotten some notoriety in the 60s writing about the Corvair car that was unsafe at any speed.
Yes.
He pointed out some problems with that, but then he was also involved in other environmental issues. Gaylord Nelson, who was the senator from Wisconsin, who was quite active on environmental issues. Barry Commoner, who was a writer about environmental issues and had been for, probably a decade before Earth Day.
Yeah, I wrote the book Common Cause.
That might be it. There were a couple others, the Science and Survival. I'm trying to remember the name. I've got all these books.
Sure. Yeah. But Barry Commoner was a very influential voice, and the other, especially Gaylord Nelson, and sounded like you really put together an incredible panel. Were there... Please, go ahead.
Do you remember the name Paul Ehrlich?
Oh, sure.
The population bomb was his topic of, about what we need to do to reduce the number, the increase in the population, because, people are kind of the causes of environmental problems that may come along.
Boy, I can only imagine that group of presenters a week before Earth Day, and then they probably all returned to their home bases and contributed to other April 22nd Earth Day activities around the world.
It was primary emphasis on the environment, but also it was pointed out the social problems caused by environmental problems. And the prime example of that was Walter Reuther, who was, I think, at that time chair of the United Auto Workers, and saying that, the auto workers sometimes had severe environmental problems because they lived near factories with pollution, and they had to work in factories with pollution, and so the people suffered because of some of the environmental problems. So that was another thing that important to continue to be.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And these things were kind of pointed out to me quite recently. I heard a writer named Terry Tempest Williams speak at the University of Northern Iowa. Do you recognize that name by chance?
Yes, she was just there Friday evening.
But she was pointing out problems that she has encountered. She's a native of Utah, and she made some strong comparisons of Utah and Iowa. She said, you know, we're both conservative people, but we're tied to our land. And in Utah, there have been quite a number of issues, environmental issues. Some uranium mining has caused problems and sickness and some deaths in the Native American people there who have worked in the mines. A recent move by the president to remove the Bear's Ears National Monument greatly reduced the size of that, and also the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, which are sacred lands to the Native Americans, to open up those for oil drilling and mineral exploration. So Terry Tempest Williams was pointing out that, how closely tied the social and the environmental issues are. So, and she pointed out in Iowa, you know, we are heavily dependent on our use of our land, sometimes abuse of our land, you know, for agriculture. She said that, you know, Iowans can feel that pain, too, over the disappearance of our tall grass prairie over the past 150 years, and it's now productive agricultural land, but we need to do more regenerative agriculture as opposed to extractive agriculture, and that is one of the movements that we hope is growing in force in Iowa.
Boy, that's a very powerful message at this each spring in our agricultural state, and as a member of the Clayton County Conservation Board, Larry Stone, and a citizen of the natural world, what do you have planned for Earth Day 2019?
Well, one thing, I'm helping our Conservation Board naturalist with the school groups that are coming to our Osborne Nature Center for field trips. We're going to be touring our nature center and the grounds there. So,
and what a beautiful destination that can be. Anyone traveling in the driftless of northeast Iowa, just outside Elkader.
And we're hoping to, the grandkids may be here the day before Earth Day, and we're going to be out looking at wildflowers or listening to wild turkeys. We might even get down to the Turkey River and pick up a few rocks.
I hope you can.
Be out, being outdoors and appreciating this. You know, what we have around us is kind of the most important thing.
And we are, I would extend my appreciation to you for this interview. We are involved with our community radio fundraising, Spring Drive. So I'm curious, how does community radio fit into what's important in Larry and Margaret Stone's life up in the Turkey River area of northeast Iowa?
Well, it's important for people to be informed, and I like that word, community. Of course, our friend and mentor, Sylvan Runkle, you know, we're talking about citizens of the natural community, you know, everything from people to frogs to birds to whatever. So that community is pretty important. So, and one thing that Terry Tempest Williams mentioned was how important community is, because getting people informed and getting them to collaborate and then have a sense of community is really the way that we can make some action. And that, to her, was important. You know, we need to unite as people in a community, and then she said, question things, stand up for things, speak out for things, and act. And that is all part of the community.
It
helps us stay informed to do those things.
Yeah, that's a great message, and I sure want to convey my appreciation, Larry Stone. I hope you get out with your grandchildren this weekend and see some wildflowers and enjoy this beautiful land, what we have here in Iowa, and keep up the good work.
Not only enjoy it, but help protect and restore it is the important thing, too.
Thank you, Larry Stone.
Thank you, Pat.
This environmental update is sponsored by the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, Story County's Conservation's Friends Group, working to enhance outdoor recreation, education, and conservation Information can be found at oasco.org.